And go. Welcome to the STR Gamer Podcast for the week of April 30th.
Are you starting at the end of the week or the beginning of the week?
What the hell is the date?
The 25th.
Oh.
Then epic date.
Dude, we just joined a long tradition of podcasts not getting the date right.
L2 calendar.
I've been off for 2 days. I don't know what the hell the day is.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yes, happy Easter or other egg-related holiday. Yeah, welcome to the STR Codcast, STR Gamer Codcast, where we talk about random junk that we find interesting and try and avoid talking about junk. Men junk.
Actually, that's probably your main thrust, is talking about male junk.
See, you didn't need to go there. I said we try to avoid talking about it. What the hell are we going to talk about this week, Sam?
Well, let's start off as we always do, with what we're geeking out about this week. We should probably say that I'm Sam and you're Brian.
Oh, yeah.
We run a little site called STR Gamer and a podcast.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Introductions are important.
So what have you been geeking out about this week?
Well, I finished Portal 2 this week, which is the primary geekery that I've been up to this week. And I spent about 12, 14 hours playing it, which is a little bit on the long side for what people have been saying it takes. And it's a great game. I mean,
is it as good as everyone is saying it is?
Yeah. It's pretty fabulous in terms of a game in which you do not kill people. It has mass appeal and is fabulously well done. So kudos to Valve, and I'll look forward to Portal 3 whenever the hell they decide to release that.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, everyone's kind of like wondering what the status of Half-Life Episode 3 and maybe Half-Life 3 are.
I think for the most part people have given up on Episode 3. They're just waiting for Half-Life 3.
Yeah, I think probably. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to play Portal, but there's something about the field of view for those games. Not for Left 4 Dead, but for Half-Life and for Portal, definitely. Something about the field of view that makes me, like, motion sick. So, I don't know. I'd be kind of annoyed that those games, I mean, they seem to be getting a lot of hype, but I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me, because every time I tried playing a little bit of it today, and I was just like, yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. Well, you should try that field of view hack that we were talking about, because you can definitely do that in the Source Engine, and I've heard people have had some success with that, so
yeah,
it's definitely something. If there's any possible way for you to play it, it's something worth seeking out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very niche thing that
the problem that you have, yeah,
but and it's only for those games, thankfully. So
yeah, I don't know what it is about their they just have the engine tuned for a certain field of view. So I've finished Portal 2. What else have I been geeking out about this week?
Did you play any Rift?
I did not play any Rift. Yeah, that's right. After the World event ended, which got me to re-up my subscription, now I kind of have lost all mojo to play that game. But also the release of Portal 2 and Mortal Kombat. You know, we're heading into, strangely enough, the spring release season for video games, which typically doesn't happen. So it's going to be hard to find time to play Rift.
Oh, man, there's so much stuff coming out.
I mean, it's insane.
Between, like, I mean, Mortal Kombat just came out, and Portal. And I'm looking forward to The Witcher 2, and L.A. Noire is coming out soon.
That's right, Jesus.
And it's kind of like, then we get the summer, and then it's another release season, and then we're back to, you know, the winter holiday release season. It's just so much.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great that it's all spread out now, but at the same time, it's so spread out, it's impossible. And somewhere in there, I mean, we're coming up on E3, where we'll have a full week of gaming news, not necessarily releases, but...
Yeah, but hopefully.
It's exciting.
I mean... we should probably talk about the Rift event itself that was getting a lot of flack because it was like, I mean, from my perspective, it was like, you know, a couple weeks long event that was a lead up to which was called the Rivers of Souls event, and like you could basically go in and complete a bunch of different quests and do a lot of quest turn-ins to, like, you know, get some cool loot and stuff like that. But the actual, you know, second and third phases of the event were over within, you know, the course of a day, which I know I didn't expect that, so...
Yeah, they did not communicate well about that, because it definitely seemed, by the way that they were displaying it, that it's like, hey, here's the first 2 weeks, and then the next phase will start, and that will take some amount of time, and then maybe I could see the third phase, the final climactic thing, taking place over the course of a day, but for it to suddenly just end seems a little weird.
Yeah, because I remember we logged in, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go do the phase two of the quest, and I was like, there is no quest.
There's no world event UI anymore, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool while it went on, and I definitely spent time in grinding whatever the hell they currency for the world event was, the otherworldly source stone or whatever, and I think I got pretty much everything out of, in terms of the rewards for the event that I wanted out of it, so I can't complain. But
yeah, and they responded well, you know, like extending the quest turn-ins and stuff like that, you know, and giving everyone some free stuff, like I got a free bag and stuff.
But, yeah, the bag economy in that game is fucked, because I already have 18-slot bags, and I don't feel the need to upgrade to 20-slot bags, and I don't know, there's nothing higher than that. There might be a 24-slot bag, but they're so expensive, and I don't see the need. I mean, in WoW, I think it took me till I was like level 50, like the original level cap, before I had maximum bags. So I don't know. It just seems like I got those bag sizes awfully quickly for what, you know. Maybe I just was really good at the auction house or some shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it lonely up at the top?
Yeah, it's hard out there for a pimp. Let me tell you.
See, I can't, you know, I can't remember a time not having max bags in WoW, since simply because I've like stopped subscribing to that game and resubscribing so many different times. Like, I can't remember when I actually got all of the max bags.
I just remember it was always a huge deal to get the next tier of bags in WoW. And this, I skipped like three tiers of bags because the 18 slot bags were relatively cheap for what I had. So
nice.
Who knows?
Yeah, I need to go in there because I keep like getting all of this crafting stuff and whatever, and then having to sell all this stuff.
Crafting is the worst. Particularly, I mean, I've got my main, as you know, is an all gatherer. You know.
For his professions,
and so I'm constantly stopping and picking plants and chopping wood and mining stuff and getting, you know, gangbanged by roving, you know, event rifts and things like that. So my bags are always full of, you know, they're full of stuff, but they aren't actually full. I mean, I don't think I've only had full bags once in that game. So
what we're basically getting at is that we want Dungeon Siege donkeys.
Oh, right, man.
To what are they called? The mule or whatever.
The mule. Yeah. Dungeon Siege 3 is coming out later this year.
Now that game looks pretty good.
I really like Dungeon Siege 2 a lot, actually. That's one of the few games I finished.
Did you really?
Yeah, so... Yeah.
So what do you think about then... I mean, like, that game looks cool. What do you think about that, like, versus Torchlight 2 versus Diablo 3, all of which may be coming out this
year? It'll be real interesting. I get the sense... I haven't seen a lot about Dungeon Siege 3, but they... I get the sense that they are hewing away from the Diablo 3 clickfest kind of thing. Torchlight is sort of bargain basement Diablo, and it had better come out before Diablo 3, in which case they'll do fine. But I don't know, I think Diablo 3 will probably surprise us in terms of the way that it has significantly changed what we expect from a Diablo game.
I think so. It already looks, and everything they've shown, it always looks really polished already. So, I mean, Blizzard has got the sort of formulaic approach to making games really down, so I'm sure it'll be a great game. But I'm really excited for it. But I think that, like, Torchlight for me is so quirky that, like, it has its own appeal, and like you're saying, Dungeon Siege has its own sort of RPG element going on that I think the other two games don't really pick up on as much.
Totally.
So
yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure that the makers of Torchlight and Dungeon Siege are doing their best to get their games out as quickly as possible. So
yeah,
we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, and Blizzard hasn't confirmed that Diablo's coming out this year, but we think it might be likely.
That seems likely.
Yeah. Do you think while we're in the topic of releases, do you think that The Old Republic, Star Wars: The Old Republic, will come out?
No way. I just don't see. I don't think there's any chance of that. Particularly with Mass Effect 3 also coming out this year.
Yeah, they'd be really trying to do a lot.
Yeah. So, which is fine. I haven't seen anything about that game that made me want to play it. So, if they have some more time, maybe they'll find some way to draw me in.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel you there. I mean, in terms of MMO releases, I think this year they've got Terra coming out, and people have been talking about Guild Wars maybe getting a beta or something. Guild Wars 2. And I can't tell you how excited I am for that game. So
yeah, that game's been in development forever.
Forever, yeah. Seriously. So
what have you been geeking out about?
Well, I've been playing more Dragon Age 2. I think last week I was at the 20-hour mark or something.
That's right.
And now I've definitely surpassed the 40-hour mark.
You're insane.
Yeah. Oh my god, I've been playing so much of that game. I've actually got been working on a review to put up on that will be up on the site in the next couple of days. I just want to make sure that I finish the game before actually putting out the review in case there's major, you know, developments in the game that are, like, you know, completely make me throw my controller across the room, but hopefully not. I think it's been, I've really been enjoying it. Like, the story is awesome. The depth of the characters and the dialogue options are just typical BioWare fashion, you know, just really, really top of the game. The same issues are, you know, annoying. Like, you just keep going into the same caves in the same areas, you know. They've got this weird thing where you when you're doing a side quest, you go into a cave and you're like, I know I've been in this cave before because it looks the same and it's got the same map and everything about it is the same. But you'll like go to a doorway And you can see on the map that you can go further, and you've been further, but it's just covered by a cement door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Like,
you think I can't see through this?
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, it made no sense to me. And then the other thing is the monster spawning that we talked about, and those tend to be like pretty annoying. But I mean, only enough so that you know I notice it, but you know it doesn't really detract too much from the game itself. As I wrote about in the review, which we'll put up, it definitely feels very much like a Dragon Age 1.5 or a 1.8 or something, you know,
yeah.
Rather than a true sequel. But I mean, I'll always take more Dragon Age. I love that game, and I really like the way they've reimagined the art and the combat and all of those things. So
yeah, I mean, I haven't played it yet, but the demo was definitely impressive in terms of its the different feel that combat had. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I played probably 28, 30 hours of Dragon Age, the original Dragon Age, but I just never really got into combats, but I definitely could see myself getting into it more with the new combat style. Even with the ability to still sort of plan like you could in old PC RPGs of yore. But at heart, I'm really kind of an adrenaline junkie, so I want to see those kick-ass animations.
Oh, and kick-ass animations there are a number of. I mean, but, you know, it doesn't have the... You're playing on PC, though, right?
Yeah.
See, I'm playing on the 360, so, like, the original version didn't have an isometric view.
On console.
On the console, yeah. But they've taken it away for the PC version of Dragon Age 2, so I wonder how that will...
No, it's still there. You can still zoom out.
Oh, you can?
Yeah. Yeah, you can still zoom out. I mean, not as far as you could maybe in Dragon Age 1, but frankly, you could zoom out so far in Dragon Age 1, it was... Inconsequential.
Yeah.
So you can still do enough tactical planning.
But you can. I don't think you can do a full isometric view in the second one.
No. I mean, you couldn't really in the first one either. It would just zoom out and kind of be a sort of God's eye. But it wasn't useful in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So anyway, so we'll see. I'll get that at some point, maybe.
Yeah.
If I don't get buried under all the other new releases.
Oh my God, there's so much. I've also been. I played a little bit of a Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions. Haven't really got into it yet, but definitely seems like, and from what everyone has said about that game, that it could actually be a good, you know, licensed superhero game. I know that, you know, like Infamous has been out, and that's not, you know, licensed by any product, and Batman is supposed to be really good. I never really got into Batman Arkham Asylum,
yeah.
But Spider-Man seems like it has the potential to be good.
That's the one with the noir Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, it's got four different Spider-Man?
Spider-Mans.
Spider-Mans. from Amazing, Ultimate, Noir, and Spider-Man 2099, which is actually a really cool fiction, Spider-Man 2099. I remember really liking that. Like, I'm a kind of a comic book junkie from childhood, and remember checking out Spider-Man 2099. I felt like that was like a poor man's Spider-Man, you know, at that time, but it's really come into its own.
Cool.
So yeah, that looks cool. Also been reading a bunch of Jim Butcher. For those who haven't checked him out, he writes a bunch of different things, but chief among his series are the Dresden Files, basically a modern urban fantasy / noir / detective sort of books about a detective wizard, and you introduced me to them, and
they're super rad. Yeah,
I mean, they're just epic in the pulpiest way.
Yes.
Possible.
It's true, and they just get more epic the further you go in the series. So
nice.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. And you just got... actually, we just played a couple rounds of Mortal Kombat.
That's right, we did. You kicked my ass all over the place.
Dude, I'm telling you. Why do you think I did when I was 11? Well, when did that first game come out? 90...
Forever ago. You were like 5. Yeah.
No, I was like... I was 5.
Yeah.
I was probably 11 or 12.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, so... yeah, it's good. It's really good. I have had a lot of fun with it. The single player is actually fulfilling, which is rare for a fighting game. And most of the time, it's just kind of a fight in the training room. But this one actually has a fully developed story with cutscenes and voice and all that stuff. So it's really good. It's really well done, and it's nice to see that they can, you know, when they're not pressed for time and profit, that they can turn out something this quality. So I expect we'll see a few more Mortal Kombat iterations before they really drive it into the ground. But this is a good addition.
Yeah, I think
fighting games are back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm glad that they've gone back to the 2D thing. I'm interested to see how they mark... I mean, because I just picked it up again, so I'll see you on Xbox Live.
Ugh, I'm going to hide from you. No, he will hurt me if I play him.
But I'm interested to see if they... I don't think they will, because I'm not sure that that's their style, but NetherRealm style, but with Street Fighter, which we played a bunch of when Street Fighter 4 came out, you know, they just released Super Street Fighter 4 last year, and then now they're doing another add-on to add some characters and stuff. And I bought the original one, and I couldn't bring myself to buy the, you know, the super version. So
I bought them both.
Yeah,
because I'm an idiot.
Well, you are hardcore when you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't see them doing the same thing. I think Mortal Kombat is an American developer. I think they'll do right by the player base. I mean, there's still going to be DLC characters. Definitely. you can get. I mean,
that's already been confirmed.
Yeah, as long as you don't need to buy a whole new game, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been playing that. What else? So what's been sort of newsworthy to you in the past week? Come across your radar.
Well, there's so much. I mean, the two big things are the Amazon outage, where their web services died for 4 days, and then the Sony PlayStation outage, which is ongoing at this point. It's been 6 days for them.
And they haven't said much except for that it's been some external intrusion.
They are just the worst at corporate communications.
Man.
So nobody has any idea what's going on. PlayStation Network has 70 million users, which I had no idea. I have to imagine that Xbox Live has even more.
Yeah,
So
but that's quite a lot still.
It's a gigantic number, and... To have, I mean, because PlayStation Network is the delivery system for so many services for Sony, this is a giant, giant issue for them. So, anyway, I didn't check the stock market today, but I imagine that they're taking a hit because of this.
Well, I think just today, the 25th, and not the 30th, for those keeping track, the Anonymous, basically the hacker group, came out and said that they have nothing to do with it,
yeah.
So which was some speculation. A lot of people have been coming to Sony's defense over this and stuff, and I'm kind of the mind that it's like, whatever's going on with them, they need to be transparent, and that's not what they're doing,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yep, that's not their style.
And did we figure out what was going on with Amazon and their,
Yeah, they had a catastrophic read-write error, where one of their hard drives in one of their data centers decided to mirror themselves to all the rest of the hard drives in the data center, and you can't do that all at once, and so it just... destroyed anything that data center was going to try to do.
That's
so,
crazy.
Yeah. So it took them a while to get that stuff back online, but they have now, and there's going to be a lot of really good post-mortem stuff coming out in the next couple weeks about how different sites reacted to it and what they're doing to prevent this from happening again in the future. So.
Very interesting. I mean, it's very interesting. In much lighter news, Lord of the Rings Online had its four-year anniversary,
which is
having its four-year anniversary.
Yeah, it is ongoing as we speak.
Which is nuts.
Totally nuts.
I mean...
Yeah, you reminded me earlier this week that we were kind of doubtful about how they were going to be able to have their... have player agency in the game when the lore is so well established. But the fact is they've done a fabulous job with it, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, our main thing at the time when it was coming out... I remember we were mildly interested because we were playing Dungeons & Dragons Online, which is also made by Turbine, and loving that, and also seeing Lord of the Rings Online and saying basically, like, well, we know the story, and we know, like, what the Fellowship is going to do, and how are we going to find, fun things to do or whatever. We didn't sort of realize that they were just going to create this fiction around the Fellowship and have you sort of playing behind the scenes of the movies and stuff. And I think it's great. I mean, like, they've done some awesome things in the past 4 years, and they continue to do some awesome things. I saw an interview today in which they were talking about... the developers were talking some about, you know, what they have in plan with the new... skirmishes and instances that they're going to have, and the Road to Isengard, which is going to be their next expansion, and how they're going to make monster play, which has been they were always trying to drive people to work with that more. How they're going to make that free to play rather than make that be a premium subscriber only content, and that's great because I don't know how many people are playing monster play now that they've made it, you know, locked away.
Can't be that many.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, they have that Lord of the Rings Online is clearly, you know, has got to be counted among the top tier MMOs. I mean, right there, right? I mean, they might not have the same subscriber base that World of Warcraft does, but they're right there in terms of pushing the envelope in terms of MMO design. So I'm glad they've stuck around this long, and it looks like they'll continue to do that. So.
Yeah, and Turbine is really sort of pushing the envelope in terms of the what is free to play, what is freemium, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like definitely serving an alternate model that I think other companies would do well to. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I would. Probably spend some money on games like Age of Conan or
Warhammer Online,
Vanguard. So if you're listening,
yeah. Vanguard particularly, you bastards,
man,
realize that your game is going to die unless you do this and make it free to play, freemium, whatever.
You know, Vanguard just had a double XP weekend event or something like that. I haven't seen in that. I tend to just check on news on Vanguard once in a while. I haven't seen an event in that game like for so long, and then all of a sudden they have something.
There can't be more than 10,000 people playing that game. It's insane.
I have no idea, but I mean, probably to implement free to play for that game would take more manpower than they have.
Whatever it is, it's worth it. I mean, that game is awesome. They just need to, actually, probably the reason they can't do free-to-play is that attracts a bunch of noobs and casual players, and that game is not casual-friendly, so... Yeah,
but, I mean, they're doing something similar with EverQuest.
Yeah, also not a casual-friendly game, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting that, again, EverQuest has 46 expansions, so what the fuck.
Yeah. I think I mentioned also last week that I picked up some Lovecraft and some Robert E. Howard. I've been reading some of that, and definitely the Robert E. Howard is getting me... wanting to
go reinstall Age of Conan.
Yeah, reinstall Age of Conan and stuff. So, Funcom, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Free to play, please. Thanks. probably also one of the bigger stories last week that maybe we can talk a little bit about today is the announcement of Project Cafe, which is going to be the...
Another stupid Nintendo name.
Man. It's going to be the successor to the Wii or the next Nintendo console, et cetera, iteration.
Yeah, official announcement at E3 and playable at E3. So... That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I don't remember what Reggie Fils-Aime, I don't know what his title is, but director, VP, something of Nintendo North America.
The dude who gets up on stage.
Yeah, I mean, he's seems like a cool guy. He was talking about the 3DS and stuff, and when asked about, consoles and stuff, maybe just a month ago or two, obviously holding it very close to the chest, not saying anything. And then this news came out.
Yep, well, this rumor started circulating last week, and... They confirmed it today, and they also confirmed that their third quarter profits were down 50%.
No surprise.
Nintendo really, they need to...
And that they didn't meet their 4 million...
Their 3DS goal, yeah. That's a... I'm not going to say Nintendo is struggling, because, while on a quarter-to-quarter basis they sure are, they've made so much money on the Wii that they aren't going to go away anytime soon, but they do need to find something to stoke the fires, and so it's time for Project Cafe, or whatever, Wouldn't it be funny, the Wii was originally called the Revolution, which was a perfectly fine name. They should have just kept that name. But wouldn't it be funny if they just released Project, it's like, all right, come buy your cafe. This is the new Nintendo console. It's the Nintendo Cafe.
It would be a coup if they called it the Dolphin. GameCube's prototype name.
Watch them announce it's the Revolution. It's like, all right, sweet, it's the Nintendo. What? You bastard.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, the rumors about this thing have been ridiculous, and...
Well, what do we know for certain?
We don't know anything.
We do know that it's... Well, you're right. It's been rumored that it has... Like, the specs will be above or at least equal to the current generation consoles of the 360 and the PS3.
And it's rumored that it's going to have a full real controller. It's rumored that the controller is going to have touch screens.
Yes.
I mean...
So who knows about any of that stuff? Yeah. All we know is that something's coming out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are the... We were having a conversation about this last night or the night before. What are some of the things that we think... either Nintendo has to do, or that they may be trying to do, or in terms of sales and...
Well, clearly they have to stoke their profits somehow. So they have to release a new piece of hardware. Nintendo never releases hardware that costs them money. So it's not going to be super, super high-end. It's not going to be a PlayStation 3 debacle. I think it has to sell for $250 or less. If they've got a handheld console that's $250, they can't price the... I guess they could. There's an argument to be made that... hey, this is the home console. Of course it's more expensive than the handheld, but that's just silly talk.
But they still will be making money. I mean, definitely.
They're still going to be making money, whatever the price is at, you can be sure they're making money on each system. But, the crux of our discussion about it was who this system is for. I mean, the Wii was for the casual market. It benefited from a new casual market for video games, unlike any console ever has before. Enough so that Sony and Microsoft spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to create similar products to appeal to that marketplace, with relative varying degrees of success. I just don't see Nintendo suddenly deciding, okay, we did our casual console, now we're going to do hardcore.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that they would like to continue to make Zeldas and Marios and things like that, but if they don't have a Zelda or a Mario game ready to go for that console at launch, like they didn't do for the 3DS, it just seems like, I think the hardcore have mostly given up on it. Yeah, I think the hardcore have already mostly given up on Nintendo. Anything that Nintendo does that appeals to them is a surprise. And frankly, I don't think you can ascribe that to any planning on Nintendo's part. They just got lucky.
Well, I think that's what people are getting so excited about these rumors of it being, at least at the same level, HD, or having the same sort of technology or better. But, I mean, I don't... The thing that comes to me is that regardless of its technology, if it's not, like, above and beyond what the hardware in the PS3 or the 360, it's basically still going to be behind the curve. Because if we're looking at, you know, the console cycles being a little bit longer than previously, still we might be seeing some sort of announcement from Microsoft or Sony next year at E3, or at very latest in 2013 sometime. And that most likely would be some sort of powerhouse. So, I mean, it's got to be either something that will be interesting enough to, like you said, it has to have a great launch lineup that will bring in hardcore gamers, or it's got to offer something that the casual adopters who have already got Wiis are going to be interested in picking up. Because now, I mean, there's a Wii in so many different households, like we can't, and probably they're going to drop the price down to $99 or something when this thing comes out. Like,
well, I think they're going to make that cut this year. I mean, soon.
Even sooner. Huh?
Yeah, because that will.
It just went down to $149.
It hasn't. They were there. It is $149 now. They're saying there's going to be another price cut. I think people are saying, oh, it's going to go down to $129. I think it's going to go all the way to $99 because they need to stoke sales of the Wii, and having had to announce the new console before E3, the sales of the Wii are going to die, and so they need to do something to stimulate sales of that to get them through in the next year. But, you know, at the same time, I don't know who's, you know, we're hearing a lot about the new Wii because we follow the gaming press. The gaming press have been so starved for new console announcements for the last 2 years that they are, of course, going to just eat this up.
Oh, of course. So, I mean, if anything's been proved by, you know, the 3DS and the NGP, the Sony PSP2, or the Sony Xperia Play, like, you know, every week there's a new
they're
picture, you know, that someone has bootlegged and all this stuff, so...
Yeah, they just want something to talk about because that's how they make their living, and that's understandable. But you can't let it be, you know, be like, oh, this, you know, people are really hyped about this, because I don't think the general public knows or cares about this thing, and they won't until, you know, until the advertising hits, probably closer to release.
But at the same time though, the big thing about the Wii is that it was family friendly. It has this gimmick of motion controls. You know, you can play your tennis on it or whatever.
Can you still call it a gimmick? I mean, every console that comes out from now on is going to have it.
Yeah, I mean, define gimmick, right? I mean, like for people like you and me, like I definitely appreciate the motion control, and I think it's fun. It's not, I mean, being sort of a, I don't know, get off my lawn sort of old school gamer, like I like the controller, I like a mouse and keyboard, you know. I feel that I get more granularity with them, if that makes any sense, you know.
You get a higher fidelity of control.
Exactly. So I enjoy that. You know, if they really refine the motion. It's the same thing with 3D. You know, like if they really refine motion controls, if they really refine 3D, so it's not something that's additive. That it's like, okay, we put this in here because it might make it cool, but it's really optional. That's why I haven't gotten a 3DS yet, because I'm not sure that I'm really interested in the 3DS. Because for me, the game is important first and foremost.
Yeah.
And they haven't come out with anything on the 3DS that has me interested. And I suspect, since that's the same thing that happened with the Wii, especially at launch, I suspect that's what Nintendo is really going to have to do to win over the hardcore market.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't even know, do you think that they, without a quote-unquote gimmick, do you think that they can bring in the Wii adopters to get a new system? I mean, that's the question.
It's going
to
be backwards compatible with Wii games. So, yes. Yeah, I think they can. They will have to prove to the casual people that, you know, it's worth the upgrade for them. And most of those people still aren't going to upgrade until the price comes down to $150 or $200 at the most. So they'll get their hardcore early adopters at $250. Those stupid people who go out and buy every console every time it comes out. But
you bite your tongue. I'm getting an NGP the day it comes out.
You're an idiot. but everybody else is just going to have to wait and see. And it's going to be all about the games. Particularly since we are now seeing that new Nintendo console comes out, we will have sort of standardized features across the industry. You'll have HD. You'll have motion control. You'll have network gaming. You know. Everything else is sort of just numbers within those things. I mean, despite the PS3's claims of, oh, the cell processor is going to allow you to do things that the Xbox can't possibly do and all this stuff, we haven't seen any of that. It's not going to matter. You know, I don't care if the Nintendo, you know, the new Nintendo system has got a 4-core 3 gigahertz chip and the Xbox and PlayStation sequels have 20 cores at 3 gigahertz. It's not going to matter that much. You know, we've reached...
Unless it has more cowbell.
Yeah, well, if it has more cowbell, obviously. We've reached a plateau of hardware features, and so we'll be able to actually compare them across all three. And frankly, I don't think the Wii successor, whatever they call it, Project Cafe, unless they make a serious strategic shift away from the strategy which has made them the most successful console of this generation, I don't think we're going to see that. I think Nintendo is no longer the hardcore gamers, you know, source. You know, you're not going to be able to go to them for your hardcore games. I mean, particularly if you look at things like Epic Mickey, which is, you know, was Nintendo sort of saying, oh, hey, we want to kind of try and get back into this hardcore, we want to get these people back. And that game was not not received well. You know, the Zelda and Mario games have just been rehashes of previous things.
Yeah.
The last great one was apparently Galaxy, but you and I didn't play that, and
yeah, it didn't have that pull. I mean, and that's kind of the way that, I mean, like, if they were able to do the, you know, something really, really with high fidelity, the, like, with motion control or something like that, and make it, you know, something along the lines of, I don't know, people have said many things about Killzone 3 and the PlayStation Move, and said that, you know, it was a nice trick and it works, but they prefer to use, you know, controllers or whatever. If they can make a case for it, I mean, I think that could be interesting. But it's, like, I don't know, the other thing is the 3DS, I think definitely, you know, by this time next year, depending on, if they're thinking about releasing something in 2012, I think that the 3DS will matter too. Because right now the 3DS is, they're trying to sell it, and it's obviously selling well, but not as well as they would have hoped. But I feel like that could be definitely their entry into, the, not entry, but their persistence into the casual market. But that's going to need a price drop.
Or it's going to need a gigantic price drop.
Or a new, you know, they'll probably release like a 3DSi or something and then, you know, cut the price of the original or something.
Yeah, in many ways it's interesting because Nintendo is the first of the major console manufacturers to be launching it, to launch a new console, like a new home console. And you could even count the 3DS into this. They're going to be the first ones launching it head first into the sort of price degradation that we're seeing because of iPhone games. You know, when many, many people, particularly in the casual market, can get games like Angry Birds for $1 or $5 or $10 at the most, you know, the cost of entry and then the $40 or $50 or $60 to buy a game in addition to that, that's a real hard pill for a lot of people to swallow.
Yeah.
You know, when they can get their kid a iPhone or an iPod Touch with all those games for, you know, so much less. It's a real hard mountain for them to climb. And
yeah.
You and I will continue to buy full price games because we like those games. But
sure.
The casual gaming market, I think, is going to take a real hit.
I think you're right. I mean, but like you yourself, or like us, you know, that we're, you know, into games, you know, I don't like to use the terms hardcore or casual or whatever, but because I think you and I are both into hardcore and casual games. And
we're gamers. We like all kinds of games.
We're gamers, exactly. And we've, you know, are very interested in it. So what would it take for us to be interested in the Project Cafe or Wii?
I find it hard to think of anything. It's been so long since I played and enjoyed a Zelda or Mario game that even if they released both of those at launch with Project Cafe, I don't think I'd care. I just don't think they're making games for me anymore.
Hmm.
So, barring some massive sea change in their design philosophy, I just don't think it's in the cards for me.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting because I mean, when I was a kid, I was like a total Nintendo fanboy. You know, after the Atari 2600, my system of choice was the NES, and then the Super Nintendo. You know, I had a Super Nintendo before Genesis, and then the GameCube was my next console of that generation, etc. But the N64 and then the GameCube were my first consoles of each respective generation. But I didn't pick up a Wii because I was like, I'm not seeing why this, you know, is worth it. And at the time, there was no Mario game. There was a port of Twilight Princess, and I just haven't been interested in picking up a Wii. You know, I feel like if they do something with Zelda or I want to say with Mario, but I mean, there've been two Mario Galaxy games, and neither of them have really, you know, pique my interest, so I'm not sure that those are what I'm looking for, but I don't know. Skyward Sword is coming out, and that's, I'm really interested to see if they just do the port thing with that and have that be their launch game
I don't think they can afford to wait a year to release Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
I think they have to release it sooner than that.
Well, they could, but they could also release just a port of it, you know, for their Project Cafe or Wii 2 or whatever. So, I don't know, but, you know, I mean, as you know, the 360, the PS3, the PC are still the games that I keep my interest in the Wii, really, and definitely not the 3DS. Hasn't really shown anything.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo. The other way Nintendo could give themselves a fighting chance is if they really went all in on the network stuff. You know, their online has been lacking for years. They've never been up to speed, and if they can provide a compelling experience online that can rival Xbox Live, then that would tip some of the favor towards that.
Maybe, but I mean, we haven't definitely seen any evidence in the Wii or the DS or the 3DS for them to be moving in that direction.
No, I can only hope that somebody in that company is saying, all right, for a home console, we have to get rid of friend codes. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
All right, good.
So I think that's our episode for this week.
We'll leave it at that. We'll undoubtedly hear more rumors about the Wii 2 over the course of the next week and see what other ridiculousness comes, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and we'll take bets.
Yes, definitely.
So you can find us on the blog, as always, at strgamer.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Brian?
At BrianWP.
And I'm at Sominator, S-O-M-I-N-A-T-O-R. And hit us up there.
Yep.
We should definitely probably get an email sometime so people can email us questions and comments.
There should be an email. There should be an email thing at strgamer.
Do we have an email?
Just comment on the blog.
Pretty much.
Don't advertise new Air Jordans or porn.
At least not new Air Jordans.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, send us your porn links. That'd be great. All right, signing off.
We'll see you next week.